An Achilles?
I pray that's not true.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah,
how tragic would that be?
Reporting that to someone.
No,
in, so
I understand.
We're here at campus.
Our luck around here with stuff like that is—it's just uncanny. I mean, this is the thing that could not happen this year.
The only thing—I mean, he did get up and walk off the field. You don't walk off the field with a torn Achilles.
Yeah,
that's so
right.
I'm gonna.
He walked into the tunnel right where I sit, and a guy was on his right side. I think it was his right foot, if I remember correctly, and he was putting it on the ground, but there was zero pressure being applied to it. I think it was just for show.
And by the way, let's say this too, because people want to blame everybody today, and I get that, but blaming this poor Seabold guy and the turf at Tennessee.
I don't know about that.
I mean, they resurfaced the field.
Hey, nobody's been harder on the field than I have the past couple of years.
The field.
The field looked pretty good from my perspective today.
Guys get hurt in football. Guys get lower extremity injuries.
Yeah.
Why are people wanting to blame that poor guy?
Well, you had injuries last week on the turf. You had injuries this week on grass. What do you want?
It's terrible luck is what it is.
The only injury that was avoidable today was J.R.M.
Cinco, what do you think?
Everybody else who got injured got injured on a play they should be in the game.
Cinco, what do you think about the fact that they need Reeves Maben as badly as they need him, and they have him at their own special teams?
You know, I don't know. It's Virginia Tech was great at special teams. They played a lot of their starters on it. I don't know what the right answer is. Obviously, Butch Jones is a big advocate of the special teams. He coaches it himself. You know, he's going to be selfish with the players on there to make his unit look better. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just, We're talking about it because he got injured, and of course that's why you talk about it, because he's susceptible to that. But it just stinks. Now, there was also someone saying that it may have been a labrum issue with Reeves Maben.
Oh gosh. What else you got, Berto?
Well, you know, again, the JRM injury is the only one. But the irony is, like, what, four plays earlier, Quarte Sapp on a fair catch kickoff, we call fair catch, and it looked like he jacked his knee up, ACL or something, because they were doing an ACL test on him on the field. I watched it. The injuries are one thing. You can say all you want about our poor play today or our poor play. I mean, we're going to be emotionally ready for next week. If we're not, Butch needs to be fired on the spot. But with that said, we're going to be ready to play next week. The question is, are we going to have enough players to field a team? And Dubsy, you know, of all people, I've been the hardest I could possibly be on Jumper as far as why he's in there. But at this point, you know, we got to ride with the horses that we have. And sadly, it's what it is. You're exactly right. Dylan Bates hasn't played out. I had a lot more to say, but I mean, it's just kind of depressing for these kids because a lot of them are getting hurt. But the last thing they need to do is get on Twitter and start going into at the fan base. I don't think that is a good play at all.
No, that's why
for the university.
I agree, and that's why I keep kids off Twitter. And I'd be an adult because I'm an adult, and they're kids.
Yep. Well,
and I'd say you're not professional players. Don't engage. You know why professional athletes?
Guys.
Well, thank you. You know why professional athletes don't engage fans on Twitter? For the exact same reason, because you can't win. You can't win. A player is in a position, people, when they say things, don't mean what they're saying. They're just mad. Like this blaming Seabold. They gotta lash out at somebody. I get that. You can't. You can't win. Cinco, your thoughts on Roberto's call as he kind of waves the, not the white flag, but just the whole concept of the one thing the whole offseason that we kept saying is, this team's got to stay healthy if we're going to have the special year we want to see around here. I mean, this team was built back, but it wasn't built back the way Alabama's built. It wasn't built back the way Ole Miss is built. It doesn't have that kind of depth yet. Lay it on me, Cinco, your thoughts.
Well, no, there's no pity in football, man. No one's going to feel sorry for you. If you don't have the depth to handle this thing, then you aren't a top team. I mean, I hate to be so blunt about it, but you know, if he, you got guys on there that should be able to, if you don't have guys that can fill in, certainly, oh, that's why the guys are starters and the guys are backups. One's better than the other. But if you don't have guys who can go in without losing a thing, then, you know, you don't have a top team. And I, unfortunately, I mean, I'm glad we're 3-0. I truly am. But I've not seen one aspect of this team that would be considered a top 20 part of a program. I haven't seen a top 20 defense. I sure as haven't. I mean, the offense is miserable. I mean, it's just miserable. I've never seen an offense that blocks as poorly as this one does, whether it's the wide receivers, the tight ends, the offensive line. And it looks, I mean, I'll give Ohio and App State and Virginia Tech a little credit, but it gets ramped up big time the next 4 weeks. I mean, not even, it's huge, the incline that these guys are going to see in talent, speed, strength, et cetera. And going back and watching them block, I'm not even sure that it looks like they just, it's kind of like a scheme of getting away. I don't see guys extending their arms out of you. I just don't get it. I'm not sure what I'm seeing there.
Back to my whole thing. My theme with that offense, Cinco, is I can't tell you why. When I just look at what they do, play in and play out, and just the number of just wasted plays for what you know your personnel is, I don't know. But I'm kind of with you. Part of me says 3-0, really don't deserve to be 3-0. Fumbled the ball 5 times today, lost none of them. Part of that screams destiny, and then on the other hand, you think about the injuries that are mounting with the overall lack of depth, and you go, oh, there's your reality. And all these injuries have just happened right in time for, oh, guess who shows up on the schedule?
It's terrible.
I'm ready for them. I'm ready to beat them. And still, even with those injuries, Tennessee will be a touchdown favorite in that building.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuse not to beat them. I don't want to hear anybody say a damn thing about the injuries. I will not use that as an excuse this week. I will not.
In year 4, I don't know that the expectation is you should slug it out with Alabama, although Ole Miss seems to do it year in and year out. But in year 4 in an SEC team, you should be manhandling the App States and the Ohio's of the world, with all due respect to those two programs. And it's just not. I mean, it's whatever buttons Butch thought he pushed this summer, getting this team ready, I would revisit all of that. I mean, I remember him saying, we don't want an emotional team, we want a business-like team. I don't know why. I don't know that this team has a switch to turn on. I really don't. I don't see any sense of urgency. I don't see any kind of punch on the offense or defensive side. I see a lot of the same mistakes. I mean, I'd love it if a cornerback would just cover a guy without interfering. That'd be great. And then Medley, I have carried water for that cat for 3 years now. And all I can say is that you just can't count on him. And I know it was 55 yards, but that, come on. That thing didn't have a chance. I'm just not sure. I don't go into this gauntlet with a lot of confidence. Now, I'm not telling you we're going to go 4-0 or 0-4. I have no clue. But Butch Jones cannot be feeling great right now.
You were around him, Eric, post-game. Is that couch what you got from him?
A little bit, but I do want to go back to the Medley kick. And if you don't get a lot of funny situations in the press box, Tony.
Yeah.
But they announced that the kick was blocked. And yeah, after a big groan in the press box when Medley kicked that 55-yarder that went pretty much straight left.
Yeah.
And the reason they did is I think they almost had to have assumed that the kick couldn't possibly have been that bad.
Correct.
It couldn't possibly have been that bad. So they said basically,
was it blocked? I thought it was.
Yeah, basically,
no, it wasn't blocked.
Basically, yeah, hang on. We'll find out who tipped it, blocked it. So they went back to the replay, and several minutes later, in an almost sheepish voice, we have a correction on the 55-yard attempt by Medley.
He just missed it.
There was no block on the kick.
And but isn't,
there was just a little giggle inside the press box because it was really one of the worst kicks I think I've ever seen.
You know what my son said to me? My son said, K. McVaugh fan just said Medley was off note. You're on fire on the Periscope. My son said to me, Dad, it looked like you off the first tee. He said, nobody touched it. He said, it wasn't even close. He said, but here's what happened. And he said, make sure you talk about this in post game. He said they had the punting team was originally going out.
Yeah.
And then they, in midstream, decided we're going to kick a field goal. He said, and here's where we get back to game management. You have got to take a timeout there, let your kicker get reset, let the line get set. He said, Dad, they snapped the ball with a second to go on the play clock, and you can't rush your field goal unit team out there unless the time's expiring in the football game. You've got three timeouts.
Well, isn't this what
Why
we talk about?
It almost felt like a practice drill. I mean, that's the only logical thing I could think of is they're attempting to practice what to do in a real What tight situation?
He's never made that long of a field goal. Why are you kicking? Why?
Oh, yeah.
Why? That's what we talk about when we say Butch Jones lacks a feel for the game. Punt them deep. Let your defense play.
I don't
understand. Give them a short field.
Call the timeout. Nothing hurts you there by calling that timeout.
Calling a timeout. And saying, guys, let's think about this. We're out of this kid's range. We're just going to blow his confidence. I'm going to rush him onto the field to kick up. Well, how far was it?
If 54. 55.
He's got no chance of making that.
No.
No offense to him. Let's go back to our phones. Cinco, do you agree you would have at least called timeout to not do the Chinese fire drill and kick it with a second left on the clock?
I didn't see all that commotion on TV. I didn't understand why he thought all of a sudden, magic was going to hit and this cat was going to come close from 55. Here's another thing. I want to know what you guys.
All right.
There seems to be an overriding sense with this football team that no one will call a spade a spade. Everyone from the ESPN and I get the Vol Network and all those people to the internet guys, almost everybody is just afraid to say that this team's just not that great.
Everyone keeps
talking about how it's going to turn around all of a sudden. Well, I mean, I've heard every excuse. Well, we're not ready. It's an early game. Well, it's this, it's that, it's whatever it is. And then this is not even close to the same team this finished out last year with the same players.
Wait a second. How can that be?
I think people don't want to admit that they were wrong. Everybody was drinking the Kool-Aid, and people just want
to
hold out.
Wait a second. He just said this isn't the same team with the same players. Now, that makes no sense because they really didn't have tremendous losses. Did they? Look at this Kelly kid. You don't think he wants to win, do you?
Now, do you go?
But I'm not following you. Did I miss something? Were there a lot of people drafted off last year's team? That
that's the thing that's mysterious about this whole deal. That's the thing that's mysterious about the whole thing. That's why we're all just kind of.
Well, I think he might not be on a roster right now in the NFL, but I think we can all agree that they're missing Kyler Kerbison right now. And he's a serviceable SEC offensive lineman.
No question. They could use him right now. Let's go back to our phones. I would have kicked a field goal there, just for the sake of our conversation. As Ole Miss adds three, and it's 34-30, 13 minutes to play, as we're about to hit 7 o'clock in the Eastern time zone, we're about to hit 3 hours and 15 minutes on this program. And wouldn't you know it, sports fans, wouldn't you know it, a full bank of calls 3 hours and 15 minutes later. But here's what I love. That CBS game's going to go another hour, or close to it. And they're already 3.5 hours in. They're at least going to go another half hour. Are you all, Cinco, you don't count because you don't care about four-hour games. Does it lose these new four-hour games?
It's a little bit much, and I'll tell you when today, sitting in that blazing sun, and you look down at your watch and you realize, I mean, it took the first 5 minutes of the game took about half an hour with all the flags and incomplete passes, scores and everything.
A combination of that and all these spread offenses has me going, man, when's the NFL kickoff tomorrow? And I never thought I'd say that. And I love college football, but it's and they gotta review everything. Yeah. Even things that don't need reviewing get reviewed. Who says you gotta review every touchdown? No, you don't. You review touchdowns that need reviewing. You don't review every touchdown. Let's go back to the, and that's what they do. They review every touchdown. And that guy today had some good guns, though. That dude that was out there today had some great guns on him. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. It's Big Ben in South Carolina.
Hey, Benny.
Hey, man. I'm going to tell you, number one, I'm going to start off. I appreciate your post-game show. I appreciate Smart Way. This is my favorite deal about after the Tennessee ball game, win or lose. I love it. I love to listen to it. But listen, you know, just like Jerry Glanville says, you got to believe what you see. Ain't that what he says?
Yes.
Well, Tom, I told you the other day I got my standard issue Tennessee Athletic Cup out, and I've got it on, babe, and I'm going to wear it next weekend. I'm hopefully optimistic. I'm glad for 3-0, but I am worried to death about this football team. I don't understand what I'm seeing. I don't know. You know, you ever seen that movie Karate Kid where he gets his knee swept and Mr. Miyagi's in the training room popping his hands, getting them hot, laying hands on the Karate Kid?
Oh, I love it when he lays his hands on.
We need a Mr. Miyagi for our training room come Monday morning. Hell, get him in there tonight. Get him started.
I would pull out, if I'm Butch Jones, I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm bringing in whoever. I'm bringing in snake oil salesmen at this point. Now, I would do it all.
I don't know, dude. I'm concerned, man. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm very concerned.
I would bring in really bad 80s hair bands. I would bring in really horrible country singers. I'd do it all.
I'd bring in Fletch when he's Fletch. Fletch lives. Fletch lives.
Yeah.
That guy, Andy Kaufman, went to sea in Malaysia.
I'm telling you, I would bring them all in.
Well, here's the reality, Tony. And yes, we talked about it ad nauseum since last year.
Yes.
Butch Jones has the talent on this team. He's got the ingredients. I'm not sure he can bake the cake. This is three games in a row now. If we don't change by next weekend, it's going to be Florida State game today made over it, so we're going to be Florida State. If he don't get something straightened out in 7 days, we're going to get the brakes beat off of us.
That's
the truth, man.
Now, people were telling me that today on Twitter, and I made some people mad, I think. Florida's not killing anybody. Florida doesn't have that kind of team. Florida killed Kentucky last week. Kentucky gave up 35 points to one of the worst teams in the entire world today and flirted with a loss. So Florida's not blowing anybody out. I mean, we could play like this against Florida next week, and it'll be about a 7-point game, and we'll slog around and have a chance at the end. I'm telling you.
That game's still going on, Tone. It's 49-42 now.
No, it's not really.
Yeah, with 14 minutes to go in the
Oh, that's awesome. I thought the freaking thing was over. That's beautiful.
It's a Donnybrook.
49-42, and that game started at 3:30. Those people will be there till 8 o'clock watching that garbage. You couldn't pay me to sit in that garbage.
They're just going to go straight to church.
And hopefully, yes.
I really think, and I'm hopefully optimistic thinking, the light bulb is going to come on.
Yep, yep.
And everything's going to be okay.
Yep.
And you know what'll fix all this? Win. That's it. We've heard it. All they got to do is win. All this goes away.
Mm.
You know, it'll be W's in the win column the first three games of the season. Nobody will think nothing else about it. All we got to do is win.
Ben, don't you agree that it would be really great if our head coach would just say Monday at his press gathering, we're not losing this game. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I can't take it. I'm tired of it. Our fan base deserves to have a moment like the Louisville people had last week. And shine the light on some other coaches, you know, other guys in my profession. We need to enjoy this. We're going to enjoy. I want my team, even though they're banged up, to understand that there are no excuses this week. We will win this game. Not we're coming to win this game. We will win this game.
I'd love to hear it. I'll tell you funny when I'm getting off of here.
Okay.
You know, my old 7-year-old Riley, we're watching the game.
Yes.
And the camera pans over to Butch on the sideline. Of course, arms crossed, one arm on the temple, mouth pinched up, face red as a bright cherry. My son says, Dad, is he okay? I said, no, son, I don't think he is. He said, I think he's sick. Just looking at him. You know, the look he gets.
How old's your kid?
Seven. 7.
I think he's scared. Okay? I think he's scared. I think he's absolutely scared of these next 4 weeks.
Do you really think so, Senko?
Yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. Absolutely. He knows.
I have a couple
buddies that know him well, and he puts a ton of pressure. He knows every word that's said about him. He knows exactly what's on the line. He's very been out of shape that the Vols faithful does not appreciate the stuff off the field that he considers uber important.
Like what? What are some of the things that he wants us to really get excited about?
What's so critical?
APR, graduation rate, stuff like that.
Buzz Peterson stuff, in other words.
Community service. And that's all well and good. I'm not cracking on him, but he generally wants to be unconditionally loved. That's just not the main.
$4 million a year, though.
$4 million a year, like Russell just said.
That's not what Senko said. What did he say, Senk?
No, I'm saying you take a look at it's just a total different deal there. You take a look. I watched Houston against Oklahoma, and I watched a great deal of Louisville with that. And I'm not talking about who cares. The talent is how you play. I don't care what your rating was or whatever. But both teams came out there and fought, and Ole Miss too. Ole Miss is not afraid of Alabama.
No, they may
lose, but they are not afraid of Alabama. They're going to slug them if they're going to take one and give one. And we do not play like that against anybody.
I'll tell you right now, Butch's career wearing a power tee of any type is going to boil down to the next 7 days. Because I'm with Tony. He loses this game next week, two years from now. He's thumbing a ride somewhere.
There's no question. I know this town.
It boils down to the next 7 days.
And that's why he wants to whip Babcock so bad. Which he does want with Babcock bad. He's politicking behind the scenes against David Blackbird. He wants whip Babcock. He's really been. Yep, that's true. 865-200-5402. Now that's.
And I thought Virginia Tech was Witt's dream job. Believe me, I heard that line.
Oh, I know. Witt said he was VFL up there. He was Virginian for life. It's in his
dream job
bio. Well, he's trying to get the Tennessee deal. I love
such
these people in modern day modern day professional modern. I'm Freudian slip. Modern day college sports. I love these people because when they need it, they spout loyalty. But the rest of the time, it's how much money can I extract from these fan bases?
Well, is there any coach out there though that doesn't need that is just comfortable in their own skin and doesn't care out there? Maybe Mike Leach.
Oh, there's a bunch of guys that don't need like universal praise and approval. Nick Saban doesn't care what people say.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Have you watched him in a press conference?
Well, recently,
what's going on with him? Yeah.
Recently,
if he didn't care, he would have gone off on Feinbaum.
Urban Meyer is a big wimp who gets bent out of shape whenever he's criticized.
The bottom line is these guys are glorified PE teachers, and they need to understand that. And Butch Jones is chief among them. He is a serious glorified PE teacher. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Johnny. Gentlemen, this is Sean in Cali. How you doing?
Hey, brother. Welcome in Cali, where it's 4:04 East, 4:04 Pacific time right now. Thank you.
Yep. Still sunny out here. Hey, so it's funny you guys are talking about Butch Jones because I was thinking about that. Because I listen to a lot of sports talk radio. And Tony, I will say it's probably one of the best post game shows I've heard because this is great. And you guys were talking about it earlier and about how sensitive Butch Jones is, but you listen to other area sports talk and they look at what Butch Jones has done, which is rebuild Tennessee and what it is today. But he's not a good football coach. I mean, look at what he's done with the offense. I mean, this is his second OC. This is what the offense is. This is what he wants. He may want, you know, he may tell us, you know, he wants that spread power like Ohio State's running. And my wife's an Ohio State fan. And I can tell you, that's not what they're running. I have to watch Ohio State every week. What Tennessee runs is not what Ohio State runs. Ohio State will get off the ball, they'll run power football, and then when you think you're getting another run, they'll take it out of the running back's gut and throw it to one of their speedy wide receivers, which is what we should be doing. But we don't, because we do the zone stuff, and then we, you know, run it sideline to sideline, and we have a 240-pound back for some reason. I don't know. But the most concerning thing today is, again, our offensive line. It's 2 yards in our backfield almost every single time.
Wouldn't that be even more reason to get your running back a fullback to help him?
For me, I think it would.
How hard would that be? High school teams could do that in a week. I mean, it's not. I'm not asking him to split an atom.
Yeah, one of your callers called earlier. I mean, we have five tight ends. Maybe we could make one of them a fullback. I think that's what they plan on doing. I would love to be able for them to get under center when they're at the 1 yard line. But I'm realistic to know that at least for this year, and probably and most likely for the near future, as long as Butch Jones is here, that we're not going to get it. And that's okay. If we beat Florida next week, we could go. I don't care how we beat Florida next week. We could, you know, I don't care. We could run a circus offense for all I care. If we go out there and win against Florida, it'll be great. That's all I care about. But Butch Jones has kind of written a check with how he's treated the media and how he's treated with the fans, with having to educate us and all this about how good other teams are. And that's fine as long as you're winning games. But if he goes 0-4 against Florida, we as the fans are not going to be real happy.
I think he's a really good guy. And I also think that he's, for the most part, pretty good to people, like behind the scenes and that sort of thing. I'm really rooting for him. My problem, and I'm like what Dr. Sinclair said earlier, when I watch them, I just kind of go here on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. What are we doing? Like, what's the identity? What's the goal? What's the goal? And
what's your bread and butter?
What exactly? Like, Andre Ware today was so frustrated. He goes, "You've got a guy that big, and you're going to line up in a shotgun and take a snap from the 1 foot line."
And it's Andre Ware.
Why?
The guy who made his living playing the run and shoot at Houston. When that guy's saying get under center,
thank you.
Maybe you ought to listen.
Thank you. And I'm talking to a former NFL coach, a guest a couple weeks ago on In the Pocket. And I say, "You've been to practice?" "Yeah. Been to a lot of practice, Tennessee. Now that I have time." And this is somebody who cares, and I'm not going to give his name. But he says to me, he said, "Can I ask you something?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I haven't really paid attention to him the whole time we've been here." He said, do they use a fullback in their offense?" And I said, "No, they don't." And I said, and he said, "Do they tackle? Do they live tackle in practice?" And I said, "No, they didn't do that a lot in the offseason." And he looked at me and he said, "Let me tell you something. The best football teams, college or pro, and even in college, are teams that thrive on hitting each other." He said Pete Carroll at the college and the pro level was a master at making his two units adversarial to the point where he said, "You know what Tennessee doesn't do on defense?" I said, "No, what don't they do?" He said, "Why don't they try to take the ball away? You should be stripping the ball as you're tackling people constantly. The ball. But he said, "On offense, you should value the ball." He said, I don't see an offense that values the football. It's like they can't wait to run their plays. Like, Russell had a good point earlier. To you in California.
What's going on?
Russell said earlier, he said, Tennessee wants to run their tempo more than they want to run offense. And it's a good point.
That is a really good point.
Just because Butch Jones loves that. He loves switching
tempo. Oregon is great at just pick one and go with it. They switch tempo not only from series to series, within
play
the series.
To play. It makes no sense.
Well, they're falling in love with the X's and O's and the schemes of it and failing to run football. You know, when you're playing, like last year, when Florida comes back, you know, you're down by a point, what do you turn to? Nobody knows other than Dobbs running around. And I feel, I love the kid. He's represented Tennessee so well. But having it to where he's running around, acting like a pinball, bouncing off of everybody, that's not an offense.
Well, he did that way back in the day when he was in West Virginia with Rich Rod. And that was what Pat White was. But the difference is, and I don't understand where he's forgotten this, but West Virginia had big, giant, mean, nasty fullback Owen Schmidt, who absolutely annihilated people and made that game possible for Pat White and whoever.
It doesn't make any
sense.
And
Slayton. And it's like he remembers everything else about that West Virginia experience that he had.
He wasn't there then. That was Central Michigan. He was at Central Michigan.
But I thought he was an assistant at that point with Rich Rod.
No, he was a little before that.
Okay.
And I'd be curious to see what they
did. That's why he doesn't remember it.
I'd be curious to see. No, but I'd be curious to see if Rich Rod used a fullback in their offense. Cinco, do you know that? Whether or not they're using.
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think he did.
Owen Schmidt.
Owen Schmidt was there. Yeah.
With Rich Rod.
With that team that Florida with a national championship, he was there. That one really good team they had. Let's go back to our phones, and we'll get another call in here at 865-200-5402. I do specifically remember Owen Schmidt, and I think he's out of bounds there.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, guys. Ole Miss is going to lose two games, and their record's going to be 1-2 after tonight. And they have lost two heavyweight street fights that they had big leads in. They are, cliched as this may sound, Cinco, they deserve better than being 1-2. They have a nice football team.
Man, I appreciate that they just come out and get after you. And they don't look like they're afraid to make a mistake or whatever. I mean, I don't get what we're doing. I'm sorry, I keep going back to this. We've been pushed around by two MAC teams. I don't get it. I had some guy call me and say, yeah, but that defensive end for Ohio today, he was a great player. I was like, dude, he's an average player on an SEC team.
It's Ohio.
Exactly. I just don't get it. I think you guys said earlier, it's so true. What's this, Hurd gets hit in the backfield the whole time. I'm watching him just run and the whole offensive line's just getting shoved back.
Ewad just found out something really interesting. That Schmidt kid that was there, who was really the catalyst in their offense, because I remember being at Cincinnati with him at that game. We were at that Saturday night game on ESPN. It was freezing cold. And Eric's brought me to a Cincinnati game, one a year for forever. And Owen Schmidt blew Cincinnati up that night. And we just figured something out, is?
That when he was a coach at West Virginia, wide receivers coach, Owen Schmidt was playing a big, nasty fullback for West Virginia.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, why wouldn't they use a fullback? The guy is so... What is he? Is he stubborn? What is he?
I think he keeps trying to convince him. If you listen to him talk, he's so you can just see right through it. It's almost like he's playing a role. Like when he said today, we said, "What about Florida?" When Kubelik said, "What about Florida?" He said, "Just the next game." I said, "Dude, you don't even believe that. No one, his kids don't believe that." And I get, I would never want him to throw anyone under the bus or anything like that. But you know, just come on, man, show us. Your human side.
How about stand up there Monday and go, damn it, this stops. I'm serious. He's got nothing
to
lose. He's got nothing
to do that.
You
why
sure?
Can't he just say, no, why can't he just say, hey, guys, we got a big game this week. I need all the fans to come out
there
here.
There you go.
I mean, you don't have to. False bravado gets you nowhere.
Oh, I think it does.
You can be a real person.
Jimmy Johnson did it.
But that's what we're saying. He won't say that because he doesn't believe that.
Newsflash, this cat's not even, I mean, he can't go get Jimmy Johnson's coffee.
How about this quote?
Go ahead.
Cortez McDowell after the game talking about the two guys that got hurt. When those two went down, we all got together as a defense, and we were determined we were going to win this game for those two. How about you win the game because you're a vastly superior team? You're a four-touchdown favorite playing at home against a MAC team.
Like, it kind of goes back to what Sean was saying, which is...
Why do you have to have some super emotional motivation for everything that you do?
There's not a lot of there with this team for whatever reason, Cinco, to this point.
No. I mean, it just... Whatever their strategy was this summer and through fall, I can see. I mean, they wanted to get through these three games without any injuries, because I knew the four-game gauntlet. It's a business approach. I'm not going to apologize for a victory, yada, yada, et cetera, and get here. And now, there's no question in my mind, when the doors are closed in that staff meeting room, they're looking around, and it's not like, ha-ha, man, we get to unleash stuff. It's, man, believe it or not, we've shot all our bullets. I don't know what we can do.
Florida's going down Saturday. Let's go back to the phone. Smartway Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Alabama up two scores now on Ole Miss, who has really, really, really played well today, and they're gonna walk out of there 1-2. And I feel sorry for their fans, and including that really wealthy looking dude. Let's go back to the phones. Get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey Tony, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, thanks.
Hey, this is Randy down in Warner Robins, Georgia.
Hey, Randy, always good to hear from you, man.
Well, I've been trying to get through, man, but evidently it's been a lot of traffic on the phones today. I tell you, Tony, I just, I sit here and I'm watching Alabama and Ole Miss right now, and then I watched Louisville earlier a little bit, and I just, you know, I marvel at these teams. And then I watch us and just almost want to throw up. I mean, it's just unbelievable, how much better most of the teams that you watch on TV are compared to us. I mean,
is it because we're fans? Is it? Because right now I'm watching Ole Miss, like Cinco said. They just hit a deep pass down the Alabama's 30-yard line down to a Nashville kid. Thank you.
Well, you know, Tony, and here's what distresses me so much is the fact that we're wasting because we're not going to have this talent next year, and we are wasting this talent on a mediocre offense, and you know, I don't understand it's you know, it's just we're wasting it. Let me ask you this: what if our team, what if Josh Dobbs and our offense were coached by Petrino? Just imagine what our offense could look like if we had somebody who really knew offense at one position on the offensive side of the ball. We have nobody. Zani, no. DeBoard, no. Jones, no. We have no offensive
Gillespie's
line
good.
On that whole staff.
Gillespie's good.
Yes, I do like Gillespie.
The rest of them, literally, that's a bunch of high school coaches.
And Larry Scott, our special teams, Elder must have been a great special teams coach, because our special teams this year are horrendous. And Larry Scott is supposedly in charge of it. I'm sorry, I don't see him being an upgrade for Mark Elder.
Now, DeBoard, I will say this for him. He knows in town that with every five cups you get a free refill at S&S.
He's got his own thermos, right?
Like his own
chicken livers on Tuesday.
Him and Rick Barnes have made fast friends.
Lord. Well, I tell you, I don't know what Florida's offense is like. I mean, I know it's not great, but they're going to be going against a depleted, young defense next week. That don't look good. And I'm telling you, Florida's defense is the strength of their team. And the way Ohio came off the edges today and basically ran by Coleman Thomas, I know he's got two bad ankles, but God almighty, put somebody in there that can at least get in somebody's way. And Florida is going to eat us up if we're not careful next week.
I'll tell you one thing. One team that's scared of us right now is Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama with their vertical passing game, and if what we're hearing about Cam Sutton today is true, with what we saw on the field today, guys, I mean, that's not going to be pretty. Cinco, what is up with Alabama? They have a jugular. They have an identity. That's the thing that surprised me about the season. We are 3-0, and that's true. And I kind of made fun of a couple callers that got real negative earlier. But the truth is, what is our identity?
I don't think our players even know. I don't think our players know. I mean, when you have players coming out, and let's get real. I mean, Justin Martin certainly, he's not the next Rhodes Scholar in that program. But when you come out and start talking about your fans are spoiled when they've laid two eggs in home games and over 100,000 people have come out and watched them, and we've been a party for the last decade of slop, like the mayor says. That's just, as you and Hatfield say, that's tone deaf. I don't get that. And Khalil McKenzie had that same thing a couple weeks ago. I don't get it. It seems, what's the difference? Now here's what I would suggest. Nick Saban, for all his faults, one thing, and I think I mentioned this Wednesday, one thing he does is he demands the best you got, or you're going to get out of there. And the reason I think that is because not many people leave his program, both coaches and players, and perform at the same level they did while they were at Alabama. And I think he's over the top quite a bit. But when I look at this team, I don't see a whole lot of accountability on the field. Guys are allowed to make the same mistakes and the same mistakes over and over again. And I just don't get it.
I'm going to tell you, Saban's not afraid to get in his assistant coaches' faces and let them know his feelings and the fact that he's not pleased with what they're doing, this and that. Can you imagine Butch doing that?
Well, he does. He does. He cusses his coaches on the that comes from people on the sidelines. He lays into them. He really does. Which I think is a bit misplaced because I'm not sure he has the answer.
No. Well, I appreciate you taking my call, Tony, and what a call-in show, man. How long has it been?
We're only 3 hours and 44 minutes in.
Oh, okay. Hey, while I got you, can you give me the number of days, consecutive days, on the four-star basketball deal where we hadn't had a four-star basketball?
It's like 540, but we had a couple on campus today.
And
Rick
so
Barnes. Well, they didn't commit. We had a couple on campus, and I think Rick Barnes might have even been there for 90 minutes of today's football game. The guy's really trying. I mean, I don't know. That's the sad thing about Butch Jones is this cat has really poured himself into this job, and it would be so sad if he can't.
Dude, he burns the candle 24/7.
He really does.
24 hours a week, 7 months a year.
You're talking about Barnes now.
Yes.
Because Butch Jones really does pour himself into what he's doing.
I agree with that.
Rick Barnes, on the other hand, I've got a word for him, and we call that fraudulent. Thank you. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
500 and... Now, some people will go, oh, wait a second, ESPN says they're four-star player. Jerry Meyer's my guy. And Jerry Meyer says none of those people are four-star players. He said, if you want to talk about an average recruiting class, that's what Tennessee had, period. Now, Rick Barnes has a gold card to the SNS cafeteria, and we're proud of that. Let's go back to our busy phones.
That will never get old, by the way.
No, he's gotten old. And
yes.
I'm pissed.
Yes.
Back to the phones we go. Dubsy, what are you looking at?
Huh? I'm not looking at
those anything. Those two are the blue plates. There's no question.
There's no question. Those guys are...
blue plate and hot coffee when it's 95.
I love my guy. I love DeBoard, though. Here's a guy that was cleaning swimming pools.
He was like Buttermaker.
for the Bad News Bears.
You can't make that up.
They could have used DeBoer down in Brazil at that pool that turned green.
I guarantee you he was watching that this year, and he was probably with his wife, and he said, honey, they let the pH go in that 2 weeks ago in those conditions.
Nope. Let me tell you what. He can't complete a screen pass, but his chlorine game is on point, brother.
24 Oh, gosh. Let's go back to the phones. Poor Bino.
Gutters are always clean.
I want to ask for prayers today for Bino. He's on his way back from Alabama. He got hurt today in a softball game and got taken away by ambulance.
What?
Got hit in the head. He got hit in the head. He's got a concussion.
Oh, no.
Said he followed the game by his phone in Dalton, Georgia, in the ER after getting hit in the head with a line drive while on first base at the Senior Nationals. He said that he's been diagnosed with a concussion. He's on his way back by automobile listening to us tonight. He said he got really lucky. He turned his head just enough to get hit behind the ear. No fracture or bleeding. His CAT scan was okay. They gave him a CAT scan. He said he told the EMTs who were Georgia fans that they had to turn the Tennessee game on in the ambulance, and they said, boy, you really do have a concussion. prayers go out tonight to Bino, and Bino is a game-time decision for Monday.
He has to go through the Tony Basilio concussion protocol.
Yes.
Just to pass the tests and everything.
Eric said, with Bino's pending brain damage, he's now qualified to be maybe one of our new offensive coaches.
By the way, that was Eric, not me.
People on Twitter are brutal.
Yeah.
Bino, that was not me.
And then I have another friend encouraging me to call Bino. He says, you really need to call him. Thank you. Let's go back to our phones. Yeah. Bino, I love you. We're in there for you.
Hang in there, Bino.
Bino, get better.
Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in as we're just looking at what's going on here. Hello to our next caller. Welcome in.
What's up, boys?
Hey. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, I'll get right to it. That was excruciating. Yeah, man. Best dentist in town. I need to come see you.
Word.
Yeah, I think I had a feeling come out, actually.
A feeling?
a feeling and a feeling.
Interesting.
We can do both.
I'll give you a buzz. That's one of the most boring games I've ever watched. First off, those noon games are just atrocious when an SEC team's playing a non-Power 5 team out of league. And listening to Andre Ware is just brutal. And then you throw in all of the delays in that game today. And then fake Don Lemon wasn't helping matters, just flagging everything left and right. I think he met the quota. Pitiful stuff.
I'll tell you what that guy did, like I do on Periscope. He sure was flexing his muscles a lot. That guy was like, he had the Schmedium shirt on. And brother, he was flexing those muscles.
Isn't he? Wasn't he Black Hockley?
Yeah, Black Hockley.
Yeah, man. But not only was it so boring and you had to keep watching it, but like, I started sweating it out. You had to be nervous there at the end. I just wanted to get out of there with a win.
Hey, J.M., when they went up by 9 points, are you not thinking, oh, my God, they're going to score a touchdown,
get
an onside kick, and be kicking a field goal with time expired?
No question.
Everybody's thinking it.
When Barnett got that hit there at the end that stopped them on fourth down, I was, like, elated. I know that's sad, but I was just glad that we avoided disaster and got out of there and move on to Florida.
Barnett looked like he got mad. Like, finally, I'm going to show you guys.
Right.
I still have my gear. I'm going to put something on tape, as those guys like to say. And, boy, that was there.
Hey, speaking of Barnett, how about him getting upset for being called offside? That guy lines up offside every play.
Every play.
Every play. Every game. Yeah.
Every play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed it in the Bristol game. He lines up in the neutral zone, like way in the neutral zone, like the whole length of the ball.
He belongs in there with the clonies in the neutral zone so much.
Hey, let me ask you all this about our offense. I look at other teams around the country that have similar personnel to what we have. And when I say that, I mean a quarterback that's got some wheels and some skill position players that are at least decent. And like I watch a Houston play or you know, so, somebody like that, and they're getting the ball out so fast. It's like snap throw, snap handoff, snap fake throw. And it's just all so fast and fluid, and everything we do just looks painful and slow. You know, you got Dobbs standing back there. And here's another thing. When I watch these other teams, every play that they run, it looks the same. The quarterback's in the same stance. He's down in a crouch. You don't know if it's a run, a fake, a pass. And they've really got the defense off balance. With us, you can tell what we're running as soon as the ball snapped. You know, Dobbs looks over there for 3 days at the tailback.
But you know what? But you know what? In the Florida game last year, they had good stuff on offense.
Yeah,
and they did it against Alabama.
Good.
And I think they're going to dial it up again. I really think that these first three games, they just counted on the S&S Express, and they're going to dial. I'm serious. They're going to dial it up. They're going to dial it up.
But Tony, the only thing that scares me about that is, it would be one thing if these games were boring and sloppy, but we were winning by 17, 24 points. These have been scary games where we've almost lost. So it makes me think that we've had to do everything that we've had to win these games. So I don't know if we've got anything special cooked up for Florida.
It's kind of like Cinco said earlier, at some point you kind of are what you are. We're 3-0.
It could be worse. I mean, you look around the country, you know, there's a lot of people that would like to be where we're at right now.
Did Ole Miss just do that?
Yep.
Okay, tell me what they just did.
They
Cinco.
Recovered an onside kick. Sorry, Cinco, I'm still in your limelight here. And then they one play, throw into the end zone, touchdown.
It's 48-43.
Going for two.
I love it.
I would. Ole Miss is
and
very good.
They have
good.
All,
they have
time
all three timeouts. They don't have to onside kick.
I'm gonna tell you. You guys can laugh at this.
Good grief.
After their two games, I've seen them play. They belong in the top 25 before we do, with a 1-2 record. I am not kidding you. You guys can laugh at that.
Think about where they'd be if they didn't lose their two starting cornerbacks.
Yeah.
In the first half of the Florida State game. Well, they're absolutely hammering Florida State. They lose
their
two starting cornerbacks, and they're gone for the year, I think.
Wow. Think how good Louisville must be if they hammered these guys at Florida State. Hammered Ole Miss.
They're going
toe to toe with Bama right now.
I mean, they beat.
Oh my God! What was that?
They beat. Watch them get it. The living hell today. Get you some of that out of Florida State.
Tony, I'll say this before I go. The thing that scares me about Florida is I know that we have we've out recruited in here recently. We've push comes to shove, we've got more talent than they do. But what scares me is I've watched a lot of them early this season, and they are extremely well-organized, well-coached. They don't make mistakes. They're solid as solid can be. And I just think that's a horrible... It scares me to death, man. I just see them sitting back and just waiting for us to do our stupid stuff and capitalizing on it. You know, Dobbs is going to look over there and telegraph a pass out in the flat. They're going to pick it and score. And we're not going to be able to move the ball, and they'll beat us 17-6. That's what I see, you know, just something awful like that. Something like that 2000 game where A.J. Suggs threw it out there to Lito Shepard. You know, they'll capitalize on something like that.
Yep.
No. It ain't going to come down to that. Tennessee's going to play an A-plus game this week.
I hope so.
I really believe that. And I don't know why I believe that. I'm just going to continue to believe that till they don't.
My hope is, like you said, that maybe we're going to scheme them up like we did last year and have all that.
No, my hope really is that we're going to get lucky like we did today, because we lost five fumbles today. We fumbled five times and didn't lose one. Thank you, JM.
All right, guys.
And that's my deal. Cinco, that's what I'm holding out. I'm holding out hope that this team's just destined to do that, because they lost fumbled the ball five times today and didn't lose one of them. Last week, they got every break in that game. Against App State, they got every break. Now, one of two things is going to happen. That bill does come due sooner or later. So they might just get the hell beaten out of them in Neyland Stadium next week. But if they continue to get breaks, they'll win that game next week.
It's like when I'd rather be good at blocking and tackling than lucky.
No doubt.
It's like being a Cherokee. Playing Baccarat. And you've lost nine hands in a row, but you keep betting on
I like that Baccarat.
Banker.
He was a great songwriter.
Keep betting on Banker.
That I don't know what that is. I don't know what Baccarat is or Banker or... But
I'm sure we got some degenerates in the audience.
Oh, there are a lot of degenerates in this audience.
I think Jones is
some
like Chevy Chase in the off-Broadway Vegas casino in Vegas Vacation.
Yes.
Playing war.
Let's
hey,
go
here's
back.
Another thing. When did we start having these guys on the sidelines holding these big shower curtains up in front of our play callers like it's some kind of, you know,
now that's funny.
World secret.
Now that's funny. That's like B movie level comedy.
And they even do it. I noticed it when I was at the App State game. They even have two guys holding up these massive sheets for like when Thigpen's talking to his linebackers.
I'm gonna tell you something. Butch Jones is comedy. That's what he is.
He is.
He is funny.
Because Ohio's got a lip reader up in the press box with a pair of binoculars.
Like Cinco said.
The thing is, the guys in the press box are behind him.
Here's the truth, though, guys.
What are they going to do?
What's an elaborate series of mirrors they planted?
Here's the truth. Tennessee should be good enough that they should tell those teams, this is the play we're running. You try and stop it. If their offense is any good. For the talent they've recruited versus the talent those teams have. I would have onside kicked again, by the way. Let's go back to the phone scare next call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, appreciate you both taking my call.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, this is Mike in San Antonio, and I apologize for my voice. I've been battling a cold for the past couple of days, but I just want to try to get in for you guys to finish the day off. It's been, going on 4 hours?
You're going to take us over the four-hour mark, Mike in San Antonio.
Yep, and I know I want to start out on a lighter note, because you guys know that Vern Lundquist from CBS is doing his farewell tour this year, you know, across all the SEC stadiums across the country, and here's Vern Lundquist in a nutshell. About an hour or so ago, they were, he did his little farewell tour, met with Coach Freeze, and you know how they've been giving him gifts at all this stop this year, like farewell gifts. Well, Archie Manning gives him some sort of a picture, you know, gives him a big hug or whatever. And as soon as they cut back over to Vern live, he refers to his buddy as Archie Griffin. That is Vern in a nutshell.
Hey, K-Mac Vol fan on the Periscope just said that, well, I didn't realize this, but DeBoard and Vern Lundquist are brothers. DeBoard's his older brother.
How'd you like to be a necktie on Vern Lundquist? That's a strain.
It's a tough gig.
Constant pressure, right?
I like old Vernie. Vernie knows this. Vernie,
he's forgotten a lot more than I'll ever know.
He's forgotten a lot more than... That's a good point.
He's forgotten a lot more names in one game than I'll ever know.
He's just forgotten a lot.
And he's got a spotter up there. I mean, you talk about all the bells and whistles and all the tools. And old Vernie struggles. But we like old Vernie. I like his fake laughing. I've always liked his fake laughing.
Kind of like reminds me a little bit of the spoof when they used to do about Ed McMahon on Saturday Night Live.
Exactly. And here's the best thing about Vern Lundquist, if you don't know him off the air. See, I've had him on the show a couple times to know that you don't want him anywhere near your talk show. You ever had him on, Russell?
It's been a while.
He does this to you when you're talking to him on the air. Yeah. Uh-huh. Doesn't engage. Not interested. He's whatever. I mean, he's a great broadcaster. Look, in his day, his call of that 86 thing at the Masters, the guy is a tremendous broadcaster.
Oh, yeah, Jack's last Masters.
Vern Lundquist is officially roached, and he has been. No, I'm sorry, and he has been. And you know what? There are young broadcasters. Give him a shot. Here's the thing about football. Football's a young man. You got to have some juice. Baseball is a great old man sport, like Marty Brenneman. Doing the Reds, the guy in L.A.,
Vin Scully,
who's just tremendous. Dick Enberg's not doing NFL games anymore. Dick Enberg's out there doing, it's
Padre
awesome.
Games, isn't he?
He's doing what?
Padres.
Padre games. Yeah. That's what you need. But, yeah, Vernie, so weekend at Vernie's.
Yeah, I want to give my take on the Vols real quick, too, before I get off here, because I know you probably still have a few callers, but I remember Butch Jones saying the past couple of years in his press conferences and all his preseason stuff that he doesn't like emotional football teams. He said emotional football teams are like a roller coaster. They're up, they're down, they're up, they're down. So he doesn't like emotional football teams. You know what? I think he's gotten his wish, fellas, because this team is like, they're like robots on the sidelines. The only emotional person on that team is what is it, the fourth string quarterback? I mean, I think it's come back to haunt these guys a little bit, and I have a question for each and every one of you fellas. I mean, we're 2 years removed from Bajakian, the old offensive coordinator. Who do you think Josh Dobbs looked better as a passer? I'm not talking